Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it's great to be able to gather, just thinking of the change in the hours. One, the third of the days, year with the shortest days over, and here we have light now, and we come in at 6:30 in the morning. It's great. May we be in your light. But open our hearts this morning as we look at another prayer in the Bible, and help us to examine our relationship with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of number 51, Take My Life and Let It Be. 1, 3, and 5.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love.
Verse 3.
My lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Well, good morning. Turn to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 18, and I was watching all of you singing that third verse with great vigor, saying, take my silver and my gold.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you mean it or not, but we'll look at a fellow this morning who didn't mean it, the rich young ruler. We were in 18 the last time we met, and that I was here, and that was the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I shared that in one of the early morning devotions in Brazil, and got a lot of comments back from that one. We had a great early morning prayer and devotion all three mornings of the conference. And Brazilians get up late, and they're not accustomed to praying early in the morning. But we had half the conference there every morning, so it was a great conference. So it was great. But here in verse 18 of chapter 18, we've just had that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and then Jesus makes a plea of blessing the little children. And then he moves right into this. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. First question for you today, how honest are you? We see this rich young ruler is not as honest as he would appear, it would seem. What things in your heart, your life, come before the Lord? That's the whole issue here, it would seem. And how righteous, self-righteous do you see yourself? This guy said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Do you boast over what you've given up for the Lord? Are you rather ashamed of loving those things at one time more than Him? And are you ashamed of the difficulty that you went through to give those up, and do you like to boast about that? Do you see something lovable in the unsaved? We're in Luke chapter 18 this morning, verse 18 of the Jesus counseling the rich young ruler. And the reason I'm stressing dishonesty here, I think we've got a man who's got a lot of good qualities, but he's got a lot of dishonesty in his life, and I just wonder how much dishonesty is in my life and in yours. The first thing that we see here that doesn't ring true is that he comes, you know, he's a rich ruler, probably a ruler of a synagogue, we don't know, but in a way he's got a lot of things going for him. He's got position and he's got money. Apparently he had good upbringing because he said, these things I've kept from my youth. But notice right away he says, good teacher. Now, at that time, none of the Jews referred to anybody good except God. So when he refers to good teacher, they would refer to a rabbi as a teacher, but not good teacher. So here he goes way out on the limb and he says, in effect, a teacher of God. And yet he doesn't recognize Jesus as God because he doesn't do what he says. So there's a real inconsistency here. So he says, good God teacher, in other words, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So some reason, even though he's got everything, all his life in order, and he's keeping all the law, and he's rich, and he's successful, is something in him that causes him to come to the Lord. And that's good. That's good. Unfortunately, this is maybe the only place, there may be others, but I don't know of them, where somebody comes to Jesus and leaves sorrowful. This is really a tragedy. He comes to Jesus, but he leaves worse off than he came. So Jesus calls him on it, and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. So Jesus right away makes a move, it would seem, on one of the falsities that the man is exhibiting, even though he probably doesn't realize it in effect, or maybe he does, I don't know. And now Jesus gives him the commandments. These are the commandments, basically. You know, the commandments are pretty much divided. First four are relationship with God. The last six are relationship with man. Jesus quotes all the man relationship ones here. And he basically says, you know the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, and then honor your father and your mother. And notice what the rich young ruler says. He says, all these things I have kept from my youth. You know, in reality, what he should have said was, I haven't kept any of these things from my youth. Because isn't that the real truth of the matter? He had had the outward appearance of keeping these, maybe, but he certainly didn't have the inward appearance of keeping these and recognizing who God is. He couldn't have done that. But now look at this. So when Jesus heard these things, in the Mark account, there's something very beautiful that is added that isn't in this account, and it is Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him. So Jesus has compassion. He has real compassion for the lost, and I'm wondering whether you and I have compassion for the lost as we see the high and haughty unregenerate, as we see those proud, pious people. It's kind of hard to love them in a way because you want to just say, hey, get off your high horse and humble yourself before the Lord. But Jesus loved him, and he said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, notice, we're not condemning the rich. Abraham was rich, was he not? Yet he's a man referred to as a man who loved God. David was a very rich king, and yet we see another unusual thing said about David. He had a heart for God, don't we? But it's the love of the riches. And it really, what are the riches in your life that you love more than Jesus? It may be your possessions. It may be silver and gold. It may not. It may be your spouse. It may be your children. It may be your grandchildren. Maybe it's a pet dog. I don't know. Some people love dogs, or cats, or whatever they have more than anything else, you know. Or what is in your life that you love more than the Lord? What has priority in your life over the Lord? And that is what is really being. Jesus recognizes how this man must love his riches. And so he says, you lack one thing. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Whatever is coming in front of me, in effect, is what Jesus may be saying there. So as we look at this and look at our lives, what is in our lives that comes before Jesus? We need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that. So here he is saying, sell what you have and give it to the poor. In other words, don't just get rid of it, but the proceeds you get by getting rid of it, give away. So you end up with nothing, right? Now this is amazing. I'm just marveling. I came back from Brazil Thursday night, and I marvel when I travel on a couple of things. One, I marvel how much I miss my wife, and where does she stand with my relationship with the Lord. Another thing I marvel is how much I miss the creature comfort. I was mentioning this morning as I took a shower, wow, to have a shower and to have creature comforts that we have, I mean, I just really do crave those. And when I don't have them, I really miss them. So God forgive me, but freedom from bites and bugs and frogs and all the other things that are around when you're traveling. And I went to a pretty nice place. Brazil is much nicer than Africa, for example. And I had hot water, so it was great. But you did have to kind of look around and go into the bathroom and hear frogs hopping around out of your... You got to watch where you put your feet, you know. Centipedes crawling on the floor. And anyway, creatures, God's creatures. But what is in our lives that is coming before the Lord is really the issue. Now, not only get rid of them, does he say, but then what? Come, follow me. So it's not emptying ourselves of everything that comes before the Lord and just say, okay, I've given it all up, but come, follow me. He wants us to come and follow him. So, look at what's in your life. Get rid of it. If there's something in your life that needs to be there in terms of more time in the Word and more time in prayer and more time honoring and worshiping the Lord, put that in your life and come and follow him. And then we see the reaction, and this is the tragic reaction here. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful. He was very rich. You know, isn't that the tragedy? People hear their need for the Lord, and even as Felix, when Paul witnessed to him, he trembled in fear, and he was, I'm sure, sorrowful for his life in a way, but he didn't do anything about it. He just got really sorry. Really sorry. Here's this man, very sorrowful, but he leaves worse than he came, because he now... He comes and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good teacher. And good teacher tells him, and then he doesn't do it. In effect, he's like a lost person who's worse off when he hears of the gospel message and declines it. Right? And so, be careful, Phil, when you look at your life and feel pretty confident. Boy, I'm doing a lot of things right. Got a lot of good things going in my life. I really love the Lord, and I'm memorizing Scripture faithfully, and I'm praying faithfully. Boy, I'm really pretty good. Be careful. When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Is there anything you haven't given up yet? What things have you given up that you've taken back? Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for the request of saying, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Lord, we can quote the verses, we can quote the scriptures, even as this man was able to say, since my youth, all my life, I've kept the law. But Lord, knowing what your word says about eternal life, are we really giving everything up to you? And the two great commandments still stand. We should love you with all our heart, with all our heart, with all our heart. So Lord, help me to examine my heart and take out those things that are coming in front of you. And purity, Lord, I pray for purity in my life, Lord. And I know I'm not alone in the flesh and its struggle against the Spirit, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So, Lord, help us to soberly, but joyfully, turn to you and recognize that the eternal issues are what it's all about, not the accumulation of power, position, wealth, or anything else in this life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the powerful messages in your word, and may we not just hear them, may we ponder them, and then may we respond to them. May we indeed come and follow you, Lord. Lead us now in this time of prayer, and thank you for my precious brothers and sisters who are committed to get up in the morning and come and pray. And Lord, we want to pray for our church. We want to pray for our pastor. We want to pray for our missionaries, Lord. We want to pray for the church around the world. We want to pray for the leadership in this land, in this state. Lord, we want to pray for the hurting. We want to pray for the lost. And Lord, we want to pray for the found. We want to pray for all the believers that they would indeed be fruitful. And so lead us now, and as we pray one at a time, may whoever is responding to the Spirit, may the rest of us pray in one accord as we all are led by one Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.